But hopefully you got a little eggnog, you got a little sugar cookie, and you're ready to roll today. I know we are. My wife has cordially agreed, or maybe forcefully agreed, to share the message today with you guys. And I'm going to kind of kick it off. But today we obviously come to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's an awesome thing. And as many of you guys know, I had the blessing of going to Israel and spending 10 weeks in Israel. And one of the coolest places that I got to go to was the city of Bethlehem. And I want to show you a few pictures that I took while I was in Bethlehem. This is the picture of the church that is actually built over the site where they say Jesus could have been born. This is called the Church of the Nativity, and it's an amazing structure. You can kind of see where it's, you know, fallen apart. It started out with the big rocks at the bottom, and it's kind of grown up to the little rocks and all the wall and all that stuff. I mean, it's kind of fallen apart over the years, but they keep it preserved. It's a beautiful, beautiful church. I also want you to notice that the door there, if you'll go to the next picture, yeah, this door, that's the door. This is the from looking on the inside out to that little door that you saw on the front of it. As you can see there, there's a priest there, and he is, you know, a little bit taller than the door. I want you to notice that, because you can kind of see the header there that's just below his chin. And here's the cool thing about this church. When you come into that door, you have to bow. And I don't know, I mean, God, he's obviously in control of everything. I don't know why those, you know, masonry people built it that way, but I just think it was interesting, and it was just so honoring to think about how when you walk into the church, the nativity, there you have to bow before you can enter. It's pretty an amazing thing. You can keep showing those pictures. As you walk into the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, you can see all of these fancy, you know, incense type deals, and just a really nice church. If you can see on the floor there, there's actually some archaeological digs that they've done underneath the actual church that show some of the murals that they painted back in even, you know, the days of Christ. And underneath there, you can see those murals actually on the walls and on the ground there as well. The next picture is kind of hard to see, but this is the supposed site where they say that Jesus could have been born. It was dark. It was kind of in a cave type area where you had to walk down these stairs. But where those four candles are right there in the middle, if the picture was better, I didn't have a nice camera back then. But I took this picture, but it, right there where those four candles are on the floor, there's this little cutout, and it's kind of a star cutout in the floor, in the marble right there. And it's the supposed site where they say Jesus could have been born. Pretty amazing things. And, you know, I've had the pleasure of going and seeing that. Has anybody else been to Israel ever? Anybody else been to Israel? Yeah. Here's what you need to know. Now, obviously, and many of you guys know this, it didn't look like this when Jesus was born, right? This is a fancy church. This is a fancy place where they've come and thank God they've preserved the area where Jesus could have been born, right? I mean, thank God for that. But here's what I want you to get today. Jesus wasn't born in a mansion. He wasn't born in a church. He wasn't born in some fancy area. He was born in a stall. He was born in a stall. I'll tell you a little story. It happened to me the other day. I have a horse. His name's Fonzie because he's cool. Like that. And he's black. I think a black leather jacket Fonzie wore. Anyways, Fonzie got a cut on the back of his leg and on his back leg, right behind his hoof, he got a cut. And like every other, you know, cheapskate, I was like, I can make this, you know, heal. And so I tried for a couple weeks to try to get this to come together. I mean, it was about that long and it was about that deep. And I'm thinking, well, I can get this, you know, I can make this, you know, heal. Well, I couldn't. So it just kept separating and I couldn't keep it clean enough and all that. So I called the vet finally. I sent him a picture and he said, well, that needs to be in a cast. You need to cast his leg right there so that it can pull together and it can heal real well. And he said, just like every other cast, if you've ever broken a bone, that cast can't get wet, right? And so I was like, what? I was like, I don't have a stall for this horse. I mean, I've never built any fancy stalls in my non-fancy hay barn. And so I decided, well, if I got to keep him out of the weather, I might as well build a stall. And if you know anything about me, you know that I don't do things halfway. So I just cut a big hole in the side of our barn so that I could get this horse into this stall and built this stall. I actually put even Dutch doors on it. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah, so I built this stall so that I could keep him in there. I kept him in there for a couple weeks, and we got the cast off. Everything was awesome. Then I'll take a step back. Then I had to buy this as well. This is a feed bunk. If you feed horses very often and you put their feet in a rubber bowl on the ground, what do? They paw it, and then they fling it everywhere, and then all this, cost is on the ground. So I decided, well, I'm going to have to buy a feed bunk. So I bought this bunk and I put it in there, and my horse, he used his nose to kick it all out of the feed bunk, just like horses do. But here's the thing. What is this feed trough for? Well, obviously it's to feed your horse in, right? You put it in there so that the horse can gain the nutrients, gain the growth, and survive and thrive as a horse, right? Well, here's the cool thing. About 2,000 years ago, God decided that the feed trough needed another use. Amen? And he sent his son, Jesus, to come to this earth. He was born and laid in a feed trough. And here's the cool thing. You say, well, why? Why was he born? Well, he was born and laid in a feed trough, not only so that he could one day die on a cross so that you and I could be saved, but I believe that he has come and he is still here to feed us so that we can grow in him. And so today we're going to look at this amazing story of Jesus. And I know some of you guys have heard this. You may be like me and you've heard this all your life. My prayer is that today you will hear it in a new and fresh way. And as Heather shares the message that God has laid on her heart, that you would receive it and that you would know that God still wants to feed us from his son. Look at this story with me again. It's in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And listen to what it says and follow along. It says this: at the right time, or at the time the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of the King David, he had to go to what town? Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a what? Laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. I mean, look at verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a what?
Manger.
Lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. And it was as the angel had told them.
All right. So just as Jesus came to provide, you know, spiritual nourishment for us to feast on for our lives, you know, I want to talk about the mom who made that accessible for us today. I think, you know, as a mom, one of our primary responsibilities is to care for and to feed our children. I mean, we obviously do other things, but we always make sure they have food, right? We always make sure that they're fed. And Mary laid her son in a feed bunk so that we could be fed spiritually. And so today, I know a lot of you are real familiar with the Christmas story. You're familiar with, you know, the birth of Jesus. But I want to kind of focus on Mary a little bit and the mom who made all of this really possible for us. And so I want to go back and read a little bit about Mary real quick. So if you'll follow along in Luke 1, 26 through 38. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. 'Don't be afraid, Mary,' the angel told her, 'for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end.' Mary asked the angel, 'But how can this happen? I am a virgin.' The angel replied, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' Mary responded, 'I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true.' And then the angel left her." So Mary accepted God's plan, and today I want to talk about two things that we can learn from Mary. And I was talking to a friend yesterday, you know, kind of telling her what I was going to be talking about and everything. And she said, "You know, I think I could have accepted God's plan, but then when I was in labor and he didn't provide a room, I would have been like, seriously, I've gone through all this. You didn't even provide a room." Then I would have gotten a little ticked off. So I thought that was pretty funny. But and there's lots of things that we can learn from Mary. You know, when the angel came to her, you know, he told her she was favored. He told her that, you know, that God found favor in her, that she, you know, obviously lived a life that pleased God. And so she was counted worthy to be used in God's plan. And so I think that in itself is a challenge for us to live a life worthy for God to use. And I think it's, you know, awesome. Obviously, she wasn't perfect, but she loved the Lord, and that enabled her to be used by him. So the first thing I want to talk about is Mary had faith. And if you have been in church, you know kind of what faith is. But if not, you know, it's really just believing in something that you can't see. It's accepting maybe a plan for your life when you don't know the result. And maybe you don't even know the path to get to the end result. And so Gabriel, you know, comes to Mary and tells her the Holy Spirit's going to come upon her, overshadow her, and she's going to get pregnant. And Mary ultimately responds in verse 38. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." How many of you respond like that when God calls you to do something? "Okay, God, may everything you've said, you know, happen." So she obviously had incredible faith. Instead of fighting what Gabriel told her, she accepted it, obviously by faith, and believed that it was going to happen. And so she didn't fight God's plan for her life. And I think for me, I know a lot of times when I feel like God's calling me in a certain direction, or he's calling me to do something, he's calling me to go talk to this person, he's calling me to, you know, just give money to someone or whatever it is, I think sometimes we fight that. Oh, they won't believe me, or they won't accept you anyways. And we fight that plan for his life. But she had faith. And was she afraid? Yes. I mean, even the angel told her, you know, "Do not be afraid." But then she, even though it was a little fearful, she still accepted what was going to happen by faith. And so I think that speaks a lot about Mary, because there was a bunch of reasons that she could have not had faith. The first, you know, thing was she was engaged to Joseph. And so here she is, she's pledged to marry him, and she's going to end up pregnant. Well, in that, you know, in those days, if you commit adultery and you have sex outside of marriage, you're stoned to death. You can be stoned to death. And so she was literally trusting her fate into Joseph's hands because he got to decide whether that was going to happen or not. So even though this could have caused her death, she still accepted it by faith. Another reason she could have not had faith was that she saw an angel. Okay, I don't know about you, but if I see an angel, I'm probably going to think I had too much coffee or
eggnog.
You know, too much
eggnog.
It wouldn't be too much eggnog, I can promise you that. Anyways, you know, or she was maybe she thought maybe I just dreamt that. Maybe I'm hallucinating. And you know, really honestly, she could have written that whole experience off because, I mean, as far as I know from reading that, there wasn't anyone else there. The angel Gabriel came to just Mary, and no one else saw that encounter. So she could have easily just written that off, said, okay, whatever, that's not true. But, you know, and just thought she wrote herself off as a nut, really. Another reason she could have not had faith was that the angel told her this baby was going to be the Son of God. Okay, so not only are you going to get pregnant, but you're going to be pregnant with the Son of God. Okay, so she had to accept that by faith. And then another thing was the angels telling her that her relative Elizabeth, who they've all known to be barren and not able to have a child, was now 6 months pregnant. So Mary's probably sitting there thinking, okay, I'm engaged to Joseph, but I'm going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. An angel told me this. And our relative Elizabeth, she's 6 months pregnant. So that sounds pretty insane, if you ask me. So there were lots of things that could have shaken Mary's faith, but instead she chose to accept it. And I think a lot of times we have to realize that choosing to accept God's plan, it is a choice. It's something that we have to choose to have the faith to do. And Mary's faith, I think, you know, something that we can learn from that too, is it not only impacted her, but her faith impacted the world. Yeah. So if you, you know, have faith and accept God's plan for your life, it's not only going to change you and benefit you, it's going to change those around you. And so, you know, if you accept whatever his plan is for your life, you're also going to be able to impact others. And if you don't accept that plan, then other people are going to miss out by our lack of obedience. So for us, you know, what does that look like? What does it look like to have that kind of faith? And for me, I think, you know, of an experience, and like Bo, you know, said, he's gone to Israel. And when I graduated from college, I went to Thailand, as many of you guys know. And that was probably the biggest step of faith for me. It was completely out of my personality. I am not a person that just goes and talks to people real easily and all that stuff. And I'm a homebody. I like to be home. I don't really, you know, like to, or at that point, I didn't like to travel a whole lot. Now I do. But anyways, and so I remember when I went on this trip, there were other people from the United States going, but I didn't know any of them. We were all from different states. There was probably 10 of us. And so I flew from Oklahoma City to Minneapolis. And when I got there, we were flying over to Tokyo. And I remember sitting in the airport, you know, just waiting to board our flight. And there was only two Americans sitting there, me and someone else. And I was like, oh, what have I gotten myself into? And so I remember, like any mature college student does or college graduate, I called my daddy from the airport from a payphone. Does anyone remember? People remember what those are?
Some people don't even remember what payphones are.
They're so I call my dad and I'm like, Dad, I think I made a mistake. I think I need to come back home. I don't think I can do this. And he said, babe, you can do it. You've got what it takes. You can do this. So I stepped on that plane, you know, by faith and flew 20-something hours to Thailand, where they're like 98% Buddhist, don't speak English. And I got to share with people the love of Jesus, people that have never even heard who Jesus is, didn't even know who Jesus is. I think here, when we try to witness to people, people know who God is, they know who Jesus is, but over there, they've never heard of him. And so it was a really awesome experience, and had I not taken that step of faith, you know, the two people that I got to lead to the Lord, that I wouldn't have had that opportunity. And so, you know, God will use you to change lives. And so maybe he's calling you to take a step of faith. And I don't know what that looks like in your life. Maybe he's calling you to start a business, which you can think of a million reasons why that doesn't make sense right now in this economy. But if he wants you to do it, he wants you to do it. Maybe he's calling you to talk to a friend about Jesus that you've been friends with for years, but you've never shared your faith with them. And you can think of a million things that they're going to say back to you that, and they're not going to accept it. But if he's calling you to do it, you need to take that step of faith. Maybe he wants you to adopt a child, but you have no idea how you're going to financially do that. But if God calls you to do it, you need to take that step of faith and do it. And truth is, you know, often when God calls us to take a step of faith, it doesn't make sense. I can remember several times in our lives when we've taken a step of faith and the resources weren't there, the money wasn't there. It just didn't make sense. We were, you know, doing good with what we were doing or whatever. But when God calls you to take that step of faith, You know, we can come up with plenty of excuses just like Mary could have, but we've got to choose to step out in obedience and move forward. Another thing, so Mary had faith, but Mary also had an open hand. And you might be saying, what does that mean to have an open hand? Well, Mary held things of this world with an open hand. You know, I think oftentimes in our life, we want to walk around with our fist clenched tight. God, I'll give you this part of my life. I'll give you this part of my life, but this part, and it's, I'm holding on to it like this. You don't get it. But he wants us to walk around like this with, you know, with the things of this world. For example, she was willing to hold with an open hand her reputation. I don't know about you, but I care what people think about me. I care about my reputation. I care about, you know, if people think I'm a kind person or whatever. And our reputation is important, but it's not more important than what God thinks about us. And Mary got this. She, you know, you can just imagine the things that people were going to say about her. She got pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Right. She is insane. Okay. Her child's going to be the Son of God. Sure. Sure he is. Okay, so people probably thought all these crazy things about Mary, but she was willing to go, okay, Lord, here's my reputation. This is the, here's the things that people are going to say about me, but I'm choosing to trust in you despite those things. And like Mary, we need to be more concerned with what God thinks of us. In Galatians 1:10, it says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And you know, the truth is, when you're following God and you're walking in obedience to him, you are going to face opposition. That's just a part of it. But you need to be more willing, you're more concerned with what God thinks about you than what people think about you. Another thing she held with an open hand was her relationship with Joseph. I mean, they were engaged. So when she learned all this, she had to, you know, she realized that she was going to have to explain this to him. And what guy's going to, you know, believe you? I mean, for you to go to your fiance and say, hey, I'm pregnant, but I promise I did not cheat on you. I mean, that's just crazy. And so she had to, you know, go to him and trusting and, you know, thinking, okay, God, even if he doesn't accept this, I'm still going to follow your plan for my life. So she was willing to hold that her relationship with her fiance with an open hand. She was, and you know, thankfully Joseph was a man of God, and an angel came to him and explained all this to him so that he was able to accept it as well. But you know, ask yourself, are there any relationships in your life that God's saying, hey, you need to let go of this, or hey, you need to be willing to let go of it if I ever call you to. And the last thing that she had to hold with an open hand was her son. And I don't know about you, but as a mom, that's hard. I have three kids, and I can't imagine, you know, having to go through what Mary went through. But she, you know, realized, you know, when they told her, you're going to have the Son of God, she had to realize that that was going to bring a lot of opposition. People, I mean, were going to not like him. People were going to, you know, love him, but some people were going to hate him. And she had to realize that, man, this is my son, but I've got to just give him back to God. And so, you know, as a mom, it's challenging. And I feel like I've been challenged lately by the Lord to hold my kids with an open hand, you know, no matter what that looks like. And that's scary to say as a mom, because you want to be that mother hen. You want to protect them and coddle them and keep them from harm. You don't want people to be mean to them and all these things. But you have to realize that our children aren't ours. They're God's. And we have to trust him with them and know that. I'll just read this verse, Isaiah 55:9. It says, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So God's plan for our kids are so much higher than what we could ever imagine as parents here on earth. And so think of Mary, you know, when her son was being crucified, just think of the pain and the agony that she had to go through, but she was still willing to say, God, he's yours. He's not mine. And, you know, because she made that choice and because she was willing to hold her son with an open hand, it impacted all of us and gave us accessibility to live in eternity with Christ. And so, you know, that's my challenge for you today, is just to have faith in God's plans for your life, to hold things of this earth loosely with an open hand, and to put your yes on the table. You know, yes, God, I'll follow you wherever you tell me to go. I'll, you know, give you my kids if that's what you need, or just whatever it is, just walk around with that yes on the table.
Amen. Amen. Give it up. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. The message that Heather shared, it's not obviously for just mothers, it's for all of us. And so today, my question to you is, maybe you're a believer, maybe you already trust in Jesus, but or he's put some feed in the bunk and he's ready for you to eat it so that you can grow in your faith. And he's shown you the step of faith that he wants you to take, but you're not maybe obeying what he's asked you to do. I don't know if that's you or not, but maybe I imagine there's someone in this room that he has shown the step that he wants you to take, but you've not taken in what he's provided. And so maybe right here today on this Christmas Sunday, you just need to put your yes on the table. And just say to Jesus, whatever you're telling me to do, whatever step you're wanting me to take, I don't know what that looks like fully. I don't know what's going to happen in the future with this, but I say yes. I say yes because I want to please you. I want to honor you with my life. And so maybe that's you. How many of you guys, nobody's looking around, but how many of you guys would say, you know what, Bo, God has, he's kind of planted that seed in my heart, and that's pretty much what he's telling me. How many of you guys would just raise your hand and say that? God's showing me something. Good. All across the barn. All across the barn. Thank you. Listen, I hope that you will make that commitment to say yes to him. That you would not maybe worry about the future. You would not worry about what's, you know, what doesn't make sense on an earthly standpoint, but you would just trust the Savior of the world. That if he can come, he can be born from a virgin, he can, you know, rise from the dead after he's been crucified on a cross, then he can handle whatever he's shown you. You just have to have faith. And so maybe that's you today. Again, my prayer is that you would be obedient. Maybe you're here today and you've never experienced Jesus personally. You've never allowed the Savior of the world to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart and live with you. Listen, today would be the best day. One of the greatest decision that you could make today would be to give your heart to Jesus. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, it's simple. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you say, what does that mean? What does that mean, Bo, when it means, you know, that we'll be saved? Well, it means that you will be forgiven of your sin. You'll be forgiven of your past. And you'll be given a new life. A life that is eternal. And so maybe that's you today. Maybe you just need to, in your chair, maybe you just pray this simple prayer. I'll lead you in this simple prayer. And again, the words aren't magical. It's what's in your heart that really matters. But maybe you just need to pray this prayer in your heart. Jesus, I know that you came to this earth so that you could die for me. And so today I'm asking you to come, forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and save me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. And thank you for giving me eternal life through your death. Listen, maybe you just prayed that prayer for the very first time. Listen, we're not going to ask you to come to the front. We don't embarrass anybody. We don't, you know, make a big show of anything. We just want to know so that we can celebrate with you your salvation, your new life with Christ. And so here's what we ask you to do. Jill and Wes are going to come. They're going to explain it even more. But all you have to do, because we want to celebrate with you, we want to give you some resources. All we ask you to do is fill out the orange card that's on your chair. Place it in one of these yellow buckets. And we will contact you about your decision today. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you need to, you know, ask a few questions before you take the step of faith that God has asked you to take. Listen, we're here to help you answer those questions. And so please fill out the orange card. Please, or maybe you just want to text your name to the number on the screen as you leave today. We will contact you. It's that simple. So here's what I would ask. We're going to lead you in a word of prayer, and then Wes and Jill are going to come and share some closing announcements, and then we'll be dismissed. But I hope that you walk away today saying yes to the Lord, just like Mary did on that Christmas day, and even before that, as she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, she said, yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll follow you. Yes, I'll bear the Son of God. I hope that you're challenged by that and that you will commit to that as well. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the awesomeness of you, the awesomeness of knowing you. And we thank you that you weren't just born that day so that you could remain a baby, but that you grew up so that you could become a man who was fully God, who died on a cross so that we might know God personally. And so we thank you for that. We celebrate the birth of our Savior today. And we thank you for Mary's faith and her open hand that she kept so that we could be fed from Jesus. Thank you. It's in your holy name I pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Bo Haig at Thousand Hills Ranch Church in Woodward, Oklahoma. Please join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. at the Woodward Livestock Auction.
I'm a riding fool who is up to date. I rode every trail in the Lone Star State. I roamed the range in my Ford V8. Yippee-i-oh-tie. Yippee-i-oh-tie.